We gather together to seek, to find, and to share the promise of honest religion. And so, it is a sacred time, this, and a sacred place, this. Vulnerability more powerful than strength. It is a sacred time, this. Let us rise and begin it together in song. The journey to centering teaches us that birth is a beginning, and death is a destination, and life is a journey. From childhood to maturity, and youth to age, from innocence to awareness, and ignorance to knowing, from foolishness to discretion, and then perhaps to wisdom, from weakness to strength, or strength to weakness, and often back again, from health to sickness and back, we pray to health again, from offense to forgiveness, from loneliness to love, from joy to gratitude, from pain to compassion, and grief to understanding, from fear to faith, from defeat to defeat to defeat, until looking backward or ahead, we see that victory lies not at some high place along the way, but in having made the journey, stage by stage, a sacred pilgrimage. Birth is a beginning, and death is a destination, and life is a journey, a sacred pilgrimage to life. Well, let's take a trip. My journey to UUism via Passover Exodus, organized Judaism, harmless beliefs, dangerous beliefs, via Christianity and Islam, to honest religion. It's a long distance and it lasts a lifetime. My journey takes thousands of steps. We can just take some starts and stops and side trips and we can just cover a few of these steps. Let's start with belief in miracles that planted doubts. God sent three angels in the form of travelers to Abraham and Sarah. They were to announce the pregnancy and the eventual birth of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. That caused Sarah to laugh. "I haven't had sex in decades." She was nearly a century old. Stop laughing at God. He can do whatever he wants. So basically, this was a virgin birth story, or parthenogenesis. Next doubtful miracle, transubstantiation. Moses transformed the Nile into blood, parting the Red Sea, and, of course, the Exodus. He was magical. He could do so many wonderful things, feeding manna made out of nothing to hundreds of thousands of people, gourmet nutrition. Elisha the prophet walked on water, crossing the river Kishon, and brought a recently dead young boy back to life because his hysterical mother shrieked nonstop at him. He said, "Look, lady, this is not my assignment. But if you will stop cursing God and me, you have a deal. I'll resurrect him." In return, she baked him a special cake and goodies for his journey. When his mother told him to learn from Elijah, he followed Elijah around, and when Elijah died, he ascended into heaven in a fiery chariot. Well, you could say, what's the harm in all of these beliefs? All religions have these miraculous beliefs. But we Unitarians seek out and respect all faiths and welcome their ministers on our pulpit. But then, you know, I realize that some Jewish beliefs are harmful. Our father Abraham had a dad whose name was Terah. And he had a small g God business, manufactured them. And one day when Dad was out delivering a big order, little Abraham knocked over all the gods in the display floor, except for one. And Dad came home and he was mad, and Abraham said, "I didn't do it." Terah said, "Preposterous. You know very well that they're all made out of wood and stone and have no power." And Abraham said, "Then it's dishonest religion that you are peddling." When Abraham grew up and married Sarah, God said, "Lech lecha, go out, journey to a new land, a promised land. It will belong to your descendants forever. I'm giving you a permanent deed of trust for Hebrews, Israelites, Jews." And Jews believed that story for thousands of years. And it was a great source of spiritual homilies. Until it morphed into 19th century territorial irredentist nationalism, which became a dangerous life-killing machine, underpinned by belief in God's promised land. And so we have the tragedy of Gaza as a case in point. It also killed liberal Judaism. Let's continue on my journey away from organized Judaism. After being ordained a Reform rabbi, the state of Israel, under General Sharon, occupied great swaths of Lebanon. Battles ensued, and refugee camps were bombarded. In an interview with the Houston Chronicle, I said, "I didn't think that was very Jewish." Well, I really took it on the chin for that. I said, I lamented the ensuing hatred and desire for revenge, which would lead to attacks on the state of Israel, Israelis, and there would be a never-ending cycle of destruction of treasure and life. I was castigated by the local Jewish press, vilified as a clergy hiding behind black robes, naive, and worst of all, nothing but an idealist. Well, excuse me, I thought being an idealist was part of being a rabbi or a minister. Didn't I understand that Jerusalem, King David's city, was the capital of the promised land? So the promised land had to be ethnically cleansed. Again, on my journey to UUism, I studied Hebrew in Jerusalem and was caught up in the Six-Day War. And I saw things in that war that pushed me further on my journey to UUism. And it came home to me that Reform Judaism was being murdered. In 1885, Reform Judaism stated in the Pittsburgh Platform, "No Messiah, no heaven, no hell. Judaism is a religious community, not a nation. Biblical stories are legends of another time, and our goal is social justice. But in the 21st century, Judaism has been captured by fundraising organizations called federations, housed in Jewish community centers that have destroyed the authority of rabbis and temples and synagogues. Keep on trucking to UUism." Organized Judaism struck a deal with evangelical Christians. "You guys support the state of Israel, and we will ignore your goals to get all Jews to move to Israel, because that hastens Jesus' second coming." Oh, and speaking of dangerous beliefs, in Jerusalem on Friday evening recently, in an Orthodox neighborhood where on the Sabbath they string chains across the streets so you can't drive, an Arab worker found himself lost and was driving, and the crowd chased him and threw rocks at him and screamed that wonderful curse from the Middle East, "Death to Americans, death to Jews." Only they were screaming, "Death to Arabs." That's not true Judaism. The Pittsburgh Platform is. You get the picture about dangerous Jewish beliefs. Well, my journey to UUism continues with dangerous beliefs in Christianity. I could talk to you about Serbian Christian Orthodox priests swinging heavy, intimidating canisters of smoking incense and physically shoving around priests of other denominations at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. How Christian is that? Or Orthodox Yugoslavians providing excuses to genocide Muslims in Srebrenica, believing that their religious beliefs supported such nationalistic killing fervor, because our religion teaches us that we're worth more than people of their religion. But what has been really dangerous recently, in my opinion, is a belief held by Pope Benedict, who really got into my face a couple of days ago. Millions of my African brothers listened and presumably were influenced to abjure using condoms in a continent plagued by AIDS, and further insisting that condoms not only are anti-Christian, but they caused, yes, caused HIV. How many more lives will be lost by those statements? How many more orphans will be created? How many scarce African resources will be wasted in treating all the countless new HIV cases as a result? But then, who am I to criticize the Pope about his knowledge of sex? No, seriously. He's infallible. And he's aware of sexual activities. Like what happened the other day in teeny tiny little New Hampshire. 27 new sexual cases involving priests filed against the church. Well, maybe condoms will be okay in another 400 years. It took that long for the Catholic Church to recommunicate Galileo and affirm that our galaxy, our solar system is heliocentric and not geocentric. So now after 400 years, I can say to Galileo, come on down, it's okay, it's safe. And you are no longer under house arrest. Let's travel to Africa. One of the frontiers between Christian and Muslim conflict. Thousands have died because of a desire to control the fertile lands in the middle of Nigeria. And in the past year, Christians have bolted the doors of mosques filled with Muslims praying and set them on fire. And of course, the favor of Holocausting infidels in churches has been vengefully returned by Muslims. All of which brings us to Muslims and their dangerous beliefs. You know, jihad. Hayyan, a courtly Hamas leader in Gaza, lost his four wives and nine of his children in an Israeli raid in the recent Gaza conflict. They were buried in the rubble of what he insisted was not his home. His real home was in the present state of Israel. And so, unlike other Hamas leaders, he actually sent his own children on attacks in Israel, and he lost his 16-year-old son. He said he missed that son, but he planned to push another one because he wanted each one to have an attack of his own. It's our home. It's more dear to me than my children. He tried to explain that to a reporter, that there is a Quranic basis for suicide killing, but he gave up saying, I don't think you get it. He said he'd already married three wives and was looking for a fourth. I love women, he said. And God will replenish what I have lost as God had done with the prophet Job. And furthermore, he encourages his daughters to do the same because, after all, in Islam, women are becoming more equal. If on my journey I had continued on the Reformed Jewish path, I would have done a U-turn to a time before the 1885 Pittsburgh platform. I'd be back in the pre-Enlightenment days of 1700. In 1885, it was on its way to honest religion. Today, it has reversed with the speed of science fiction time travel. It's no longer Reformation Judaism, but Deformation Judaism. As Luther, not our Luther, the one who nailed statements on church doors, realized that a church that does not reform deforms. It reverts. It treadmills backwards. It does not Darwin-like evolve. It devolves. And speaking of the future journey, to my journey to honest religion, it's not finished. What about the most powerful country in the world? Us. Take a look at the beliefs of our fellow Americans. Your neighbors. Your hairdresser. Your plumber. I have a neighbor who wants to torture terrorists because Obama cares more about terrorists than he does about us. Another wants to take the book, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night, out of the McAllister High School library. Did I want my kids learning how to curse and kill dogs and commit adultery? Well, my grandkids already know how to curse. 44% of us believes in ghosts, 71% in angels, 40% believe that God created all things within the last 10,000 years. So what do you think about that, Texas Board of Education? A recent bestseller tells us that kids are bored in school because they have an indigo vibrational aura that means they are a gifted race from another world. Many say that English was good enough for Jesus, so it's good enough for us. No foreign languages have to be taught. Many don't believe in climate change. So what if Sarah Palin couldn't answer sneaky questions about the Bush Doctrine? Many couldn't. Anyhow, she's not elitist. 39% didn't even vote in the last election. That's larger than the entire population of Germany. Obama is the Antichrist because the winning lottery number in Illinois was 666. Millions of us are as greedy and gullible as a box of puppies and will follow a bone tossed over a cliff. Oh, Mr. Sanford, Mr. Madoff, I've got a lot of money. I don't know what to do with it. Can you tell me what to do with it? Well, if these people are activated, and if some individual gets to them, what will happen to our country and the world? We may live to experience a tyranny of the majority, one that de Tocqueville never imagined. And what about that guy on Fox, Glenn Beck, crying and weeping, believe in something, believe in something. I don't care if it's false, just believe in something. Well, he's not a UU. There are dangerous religious beliefs, and they underpin dangerous political beliefs. And if you and I are to continue on our journey to honest religion and true UUism, then we have to stand up and say so. We can't hide it. It has to evolve to constantly reform. Oh, we can imitate Reform Judaism and decline into meaningless gibberish. You know, if you're looking for signs, and I don't think we all are, just take a look at the signs out there on the street. You know, this church is on the corner of Grover and No Outlet. Think about that. We should stand for something on this pulpit and in our congregation. We should try to convince our fellow Americans we shouldn't hide our light. Let it shine. We can say we embrace all religions, but we can ask our Jewish friends to get real about promised lands. We can ask the Pope to read Science 101. We can ask our Muslim friends to rewrite Sharia in the Quran and stop calling Christians and Jews pigs and monkeys and manipulating children to die for non-existent eternal life. I think we need to be a little less touching and hugging each other. We need to challenge ourselves and to build true, honest religion. No acid in girls' faces going to school, no bombing refugee camps, no burning mosques, no burning widows on funeral pyres, no circumcising young girls, no killing each other about who is the real chooser of the reincarnated Dalai Lama in the body of some infant. Another reason that I really left organized Judaism is this Jewish prayer. in the Reform book. Oh God, forgive me, I can't really know what is for my own good. Thou knowest all things well and choosest all things. You really know what's best for me. Well, Groucho Marx said it when he was caught in flagrante delicto. Who are you going to believe, me or your own lying eyes? The promised land is not dirt. It's in our hearts and minds. It's not some physical territory. And it is never reached, as Moses never reached it. It's always in the future. It's always on the horizon. Oh, and one last thing. I have taken this journey to UUism, the Exodus, and I've chosen to take it in your company. I have never met so many kind, intelligent, searching people in my life. So what I want to ask is, will you take this journey with me? Step by step by step. Bon voyage.